Station/Radio.
Back to the party machine.
Yeah, we're here on MTV Spring Break. We're having a super good time.
Later,
what up?
Britney Spears is going to be showing up.
Ricky Martin will be doing a G-string thing. I think we're all really looking forward to it.
Hey, all right, so we're lying. This is Geeks in Space. And you're listening to it.
You mean Kid Rock's not going to be here?
Well, actually, I guess you could be reading a transcript.
That would be stupid.
Yeah. It would be phenomenally stupid. Hey, listen.
We wouldn't write this down.
It's not worth it. It's not worth committing it to paper.
But it is, however, worth committing to
huge
streams
of sound.
Huge streams of
digitized audio. So I'm Commander Taco, Rob Malda.
That's interesting. Now, have you renamed yourself?
Yes.
I'm Jeff Hemos Bates.
Oh, I'm Cowboy Neil.
In person.
And I'm Mixmaster Nate.
Ooh, Nate has assigned himself
Yo,
a nickname.
Yo, Mixmaster!
Just do it. Have a read DJ say, yeah.
Well, we got first up on the list, there are rumors now that the recent DVD hacks are actually going to be delaying the release of DVD audio players.
Aww.
Which, okay.
That does kind of tick me off.
Yeah, well, okay, DVD audio, first of all, is a good idea. It's like, you know, more bits, more better sound. Okay, everybody's happy.
Surround you in sound.
I like to be enveloped in my sound. Now, the thing about it is that, you know, recently somebody decided to write software that can rip MP3, or DVDs, a la, you know, we've all been ripping MP3s, you know, since puberty, I guess. And
some of us, like Cowboy Neil, have not left puberty.
Huh?
Wow, that was deep. So, anyway, now, you can rip DVDs now, okay? Actually, one guy was telling me about a product that he has that he can rip DVDs, all right? And it scales them back down to some level of MPEG compression, and then will automatically burn a CDR backup of your DVDs.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
So,
well, of course he's only doing that for backup purposes.
Well,
only.
Yeah, it's for backup purposes only.
Not for redistributing to most of India.
Legal archival versions.
Most of the third world is now in possession of CDRs labeled My Backup of Phantom Menace.
So, actually, so many people have the Phantom Menace movie CDs that were floating around. I find that pretty amusing, too. Anyway, this is obviously stupid, okay, because the reason they're going to delay this is that they're going to rework the encryption, right? And, this will slow them down, you know, which is, we all know it doesn't work. You can't take a closed encryption algorithm and then just, oh, yeah, you know, that'll work because, okay, here's the clue, guys. In order for us to use them, we have to be able to decrypt them.
If we can decrypt them,
we can rip them. So they're basically wasting their time. There's 6 months there while we're waiting for DVD audio players. They're losing chance to make money and, you know, get a new format adopted that consumers presumably want. And for what? For a new encryption process that will merely be broken.
And perhaps this time real networks will not throw themselves open, lay waiting and...
Dude. Remote control robotic snakes now.
That is pretty cool.
Apparently,
I want these for Christmas.
Yeah, Dr.
I think they
Gavin
should put
Miller.
Them in all preschools.
And I want to put in the most poisonous things
wrong.
I can find into there. Oh, maybe you should update
that. Yeah, we'll fix that. By the time you hear this, the typo will be corrected.
The typo, it will have never existed.
Yes. Rewriting history. Haha. So, basically what he did was he spent a lot of time, I suppose, modeling how snakes move, which, face it, is pretty screwed up.
Yeah, snake movement is, you know, there's been a lot of problems in animation about getting people's movement so down so that it looks actually lifelike. And snake movement is so different from any other type of animal movement that it is a pain in the arse to try and model. So this guy has spent a lot of time making robotic snakes that actually move the way snakes normally do.
He apparently did it in animation first, and then decided to that, all right, I know how it works now. Now I'm going to build one.
Yeah, so he's done everything, you know, from your normal, you know, garden variety snake to sidewinders to the full Monty. And, of course, he's mounted lasers on top of them, which he then sends out to search and destroy anyone who irritates him.
Coming soon from Sony, the robotic mongoose.
I'm kind of scared of what the recharger would look like. That's the thing that they're talking about. They're very simple to construct. So theoretically, he figures that they could actually make toys based on this for, you know, like around $500, which obviously makes them a little bit better than, say, Aibo, who's currently listing at $8 million, or like that Hondo robotic walker guy.
Yeah, but are you going to play
like
fetch
billion.
Snake?
Yeah, with your robotic snake?
Yeah, dude.
I wouldn't play fetch.
You know,
I'd play like
fetch my beer.
Fetch
open my beer.
Beer.
Yeah, I could open the beer with the fangs. You know,
that would work, then.
I don't know. Injecting your friends with poison would always be fun, too.
Maybe it would come with maybe its charger would be shaped like a basket, and it would just crawl in there, and then you could, you know,
see,
sit on it.
See, I just don't see all the fun you have with a robotic snake is, ah, you're moving around, ah. And the thing is
the
that
boa
almost
could be pretty cool.
No one. Yeah, the boa constrictor. No, almost
like you
no one.
Mr.
Robot
Slithers.
Python.
My spine! Make it stop! Right, so Rob's dreams of extortion and blackmail.
I will create an army of mighty robotic snakes. They will rule the world with me as their dark master.
Recharging them constantly.
Oh, they get 20 minutes of battery life.
Damn it.
So I got to make
my
all
army
my
of rattlesnakes need to be recharged. Come over here. Come. No, stop making that noise. I'm going to put you into the charger now.
Into the basket. Get into the basket.
I'll let you into the basket.
Oh, we could, like, do the thing where they play the little, and they come out of the basket.
You get one of those little flutes.
Oh, yeah.
I like the lasers on top.
Well, yeah, but let's be realistic. If you could mount a laser to anything, it automatically becomes about 50 times cooler. If you could put lasers on your pet cat... 50,000 times cooler.
50,000
maybe 60,000 times cooler, depending on how
you
trainable it
was. You never let me attach a laser to you.
There's a reason for that. I look at you in your sleep. I hover over your body as you sleep.
Right. Well, how about we choose a new topic?
Why? Okay, so the
hovering over me wasn't quite where I wanted to be.
The internet as a geekosystem.
Oh, my God. Oh. Why does someone have to write titles like that?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, we have geek in here.
Ah, we're going to put the word geek in. We're trendy.
We'd just like to state for the record that Geeks in Space was named before... we were ever born, and those were not posers.
It was biblical. We are fulfilling prophecy.
Ezekiel, I think, told us.
It's one of those little books in the middle where the Jews always screw up and then, you know, get zapped.
Fair enough.
Then, what this guy's been doing, well, the article is basically about treating the internet more as a biological entity instead of as, I don't know, a system. I don't know how to describe it as
organic.
What we think about it. Yeah, we don't really think about it normally, I guess. One of the things that I thought was interesting was he's actually been printing out, like, these 1-foot by 1-foot images, color-coded images of the internet, which, you know, we're used to seeing. You know, you've seen, here's a router, and it's blue, and it's connected to other routers, which are pink. But this guy's actually been animating that. So I think that's pretty cool. It'd be pretty sweet to have, like, a movie, but the article talks about then that having organic properties. You know.
One of the watching a movie like that reminds me of... the movie you would see sometimes in a science class where you'd start out looking at someone laying on a beach in Chicago, and then it was the factors of 10 things. So you'd, you know, go up 10 feet, then 100 feet, then 1,000 feet. Then
welcome to space.
Exactly.
Yeah, they also had some interesting statistic on there. What was it that, we should probably look this up, you know, and actually be accurate on this. What was it? The top 25% of websites, or the top 5% of websites are 75% of traffic.
Top 5% or 75%
of... 0.5%?
No, top 0.1%.
That was like 31%, 32%.
32% of all traffic.
I wonder where we are. Geeks in Space, we are number 9,804,000. We represent 0.00000000001% of all traffic.
I don't think you know that.
I think
for
both
sure.
of our listeners right now are going,
yeah!
And I'm half of it! Woo!
Proud to be alive! Yeah, but I would be really interested in seeing that animation. One of the other comments he was talking about was during the Kosovo, whatever you want to call it,
skirmish.
messy skirmish. There was Shindig. What he did is he did a special focus on that whole area. So he would take a special picture there every day, and he said it was interesting because you could see how the internet would die there, then grow back stronger, and it would just keep it kept growing in strength, even though you would suspect that it would have just died. So, organic qualities.
So Amazon takes round one.
Speaking of not
dispute,
organic,
here's let's think about the stupid patents again, because that seems to be a pretty popular topic these days.
We shouldn't have a stupid patent icon.
Hey, if anybody's got a good stupid patent icon idea, I'm all for it. I haven't really been able to think of a good one.
If somehow you could make a perpetual motion machine as an icon, I think that'd be just about perfect.
Right. I'll get on Potter. You're in charge of the perpetual motion invention.
Okay.
That you've got all week, so don't sweat it.
Okay, well, I think I've got one in my closet somewhere.
I'd like to announce it at the bazaar, I guess.
Come on, come all, see
okay.
My perpetual motion machine.
To bring you up to speed, here's the patent. One-click shopping. You click, it ships to you. Aha! Amazon patented it. Nobody else may do this. Okay, first of all, have you thought about this? Okay, so what, nobody else is allowed to store your address and your credit card number, and then when you
I'm amazed
link,
no one has patented cookies.
I think somebody actually did. Like, shopping carts were patented.
I suspect that probably got thrown out the
window. Yeah, well, this one will get thrown out too, I assume, but I guess it's kind of enjoyable to watch Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble fight it out.
Ah, we're major corporations!
Here's Titans! Aha! Bleh.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is that it's a preliminary injunction, which means essentially the judges looked at it and said, all right, until we sort this out, stop using one-click shopping, which doesn't make Barnes & Noble very happy, but it isn't
legal except
precedent.
My favorite line is, Amazon.com spent thousands of hours developing the one-click shopping feature.
Because,
give me 15 minutes and a secure socket layer credit card authentication program.
Well, okay, yeah, you make the assumption that every website now offers you the ability to save your phone number, your Visa card number, and your address on there. Okay, if you're a paranoia guy...
So that it can be committed into the worldwide conspiracy.
If you're a paranoia guy, you aren't doing that, all right? That's fine. But for the, you know, millions of us who aren't necessarily super paranoid, we're doing that. So
I find it amazing that Rob is describing himself as not a super paranoid.
Okay, relative to I don't save my credit card numbers in most of those things. I will save my address.
Yeah.
But
I'm just thinking about you in planes.
What about
or traveling.
Me in planes?
You just don't.
Well, okay, I'm not a privacy nut.
All right, fair enough.
The Big Brother, he's watching. But he's not, like, out to get
me. Rob's an exhibitionist. Come here, Big
Behold
Brother.
My nipples.
No.
Okay.
But, I don't understand that. Okay, because if you're... Okay, make the assumption that if you are running a website in 1999, you're saving all that data. Okay, you have to, because everybody does. Okay, now one-click shopping. Let's patent it. Okay, nobody else is going to think of that. I'm a little irritated.
Yeah,
can
it's
you tell?
Pretty bad.
Yes, you're ranting now.
It's a very dumb patent, and it angers me. So, Cisco's unveiling the amazing new wireless LAN. It's amazing.
It is. It's pretty neat, though. What is it? 44
megabits wireless.
Yeah. 30-mile range, no line of sight needed.
Wow.
The great part is they're doing it by ghosting. Ghosting is the kind of backwash that's created when cell and TV signals run into obstructions, particularly in large cities. So being the human scavengers, the Cisco went and said, oh, well, here's a bunch of garbage that's being made. Let's turn it into 44 megabits wireless.
Right. They're talking the base units are going to cost $150,000, which I'm assuming you place
that's...
them every 30 miles.
Yeah, I mean that's like what, you know, the cell companies
right.
will buy.
And
yeah,
the transceivers are talking
ISP gets.
The transceivers are talking under $500 a piece, which I mean, that's super reasonable if you drop
get one
of,
in the house, IP masquerade.
Call it good. I'm all for it. I like 44 megabits.
Yeah. 44 would be okay. And I wouldn't darn it. You'd still have to run wires in the house.
You'd still run... Well, the thing is, once you got it in, you could run, like, a Zoom Air or something. Then the thing is, you're dropping down to 1.5 megabits, and it's kind of silly, but let's be practical. Nobody's ever going to really get 44 megabits through this thing, excluding rare circumstances. You would want a 100 megabits hub for your house. You know, for your personal servers and
moving around all your MP3 and DVD information.
Well, yeah, if you've been ripping DVDs, like apparently Toshiba and all those companies think that you're doing now every 5 minutes or so.
Shh. Remember, they're watching.
Maybe. Here's my nipple. Behold. Wait.
You can get all our latest stuff at wares.slashdot.org.
Let's see. Check out the FTP server. Very popular location.
It's elite.
It is 31337. Copper mine bug. It prevents booting. Aha!
Amazing new feature.
We forgot that one. You don't need it. Yeah, I guess it's a problem with the chipsets combined with
the amazing stability of Windows 2000 means you'll never need to boot.
Right. Well, you do have to boot once.
No.
Really?
No. Nope.
Like you ship with like a memory image, like already in. RAM?
No booting, no nothing. You can just sit it there, and Windows 2000 works its magic.
You hold the CD up next to the computer, and it kind of like just diffuses in.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes over your brain.
Look at this.
Most of the computer.
You put it in the flatbed scanner and then flip the switch and
and you put your face in there with your eyes open and it writes directly to your brain.
Have you ever scanned?
I thought it was a universal serial bus device.
Your brain is?
Yeah.
I think your brain is FireWire? Who knows?
Powered by
something proprietary,
whatever,
probably.
3 point something something something. Yeah. Have you ever scanned yourself?
It's an airport.
Is it just me or has anybody else stuck their face in a flatbed scanner?
Well, not exactly my face, but...
Oh, dear. With that fine note, we have no choice but to flee to another story.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Let's see. Human chromosome 22 was mapped. Has anybody patented it yet?
Well, there was a company that was going to try and patent huge sections of the human genome.
And why the hell not?
I think they were told that, no, you can't
patent
creation.
The genetic code that everyone has.
But someone else could try and make humans, and ours are better.
Somebody could make me.
This prevents innovation and breeding.
Nobody will have
exactly.
children.
Exactly. I guess the patent, if you know, took it to its logical extreme, you could force everyone to pay royalties every time there was a successful copulation.
Oh, they
actually, anytime cells divide...
Yes, yes.
So don't be cutting off your arm and growing a new one. That's all I'm saying.
Well, now that I have my new salamander DNA in, I can do that. And I would just like to point out that I don't have the human genome anymore. I have a new one. So I'm not paying any royalties whatsoever.
Hemos, royalty free.
Royalty free since 1998.
Since those morons patented all my code and I had to rewrite it.
But I'm better. I'm stronger.
So what's
I'm
a stupider
faster.
Patent? One-click shopping or DNA?
DNA.
Yeah, probably. Hmm. It's common sense versus nature. It's fun to patent. I'm going to be patenting.
You should patent slash boxes. No one can have little boxes.
I think
on
those
the
actually were
website.
Patented. Actually, kind of close to that, because who was it? Was it Netscape?
Yahoo.
Yeah, Yahoo was patenting almost the same thing, except it was, you know, storing slash boxes in local HTTP memory space.
Ooh.
I know. Like, you know, everybody doesn't do that. So let's see, is there anything else interesting to talk about? You want to talk about what do we got? Conferences coming up. We got the Bazaar.
We have the Bazaar. We will be at the Bazaar the 13th to the 16th, probably half a day.
In New York.
3 days. New York City.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get tickets to go see a taping of The Daily Show while we're out there.
Yeah, well, you told me. I want to take it.
I think that would be totally
You're on the plan.
Whoa, dude. Yeah, I really want to meet...
Stop channeling for John
Stewart. I want to meet Beth Littleford. I think that should be my mission. I'm going to go out there and try to meet Beth Littleford.
Good.
She's
work.
A hottie. Okay, maybe not.
Well, I don't know.
She's cool.
But there's just something about Stephen Colbert.
What about Ben? I like Vance DeGeneres. He's pretty cool. What other correspondents?
Mo Rocca?
Yeah, Mo Rocca. I hate Lewis Black or whatever his name is.
Oh, he's awesome!
I hate that guy. He just gets on and screams, and you're just like, shut up. But you know who is funny? The Mattress King.
Oh, yeah, Al Greenwood. He's
just this old guy that they put a crown on his head and, like, royal robes, and they have him wandering like he's like a zombie.
He's the bedspread king. He's all, let's
room
him in Flim Flam.
And he's all like, women should submit to their men, yada, yada. Screaming off these bits of wisdom that I guess make perfect sense in your 90s. Holy cow. It's craziness.
So,
all up in that.
You're going to get tickets, though.
Maybe. Right. I don't know what the rules are. Maybe they won't let us
well,
in.
Well, why don't you just call the friggin' phone number that appears on the screen, and then they'll tell you what the rules are.
Boy, you make this all sound so easy.
Yeah, well.
If you're lucky, it'll be like Joe Bob Briggs will be on that day with God stuff.
Joe Bob
yeah,
is pretty
God
sweet.
Yeah, God stuff is pretty funny.
Joe Bob is awesome.
Yeah.
How many TNT movies have we watched just because Joe Bob will host them?
Well, it was always cool because he gave a dead body count and a Hooter count.
Yep. The two most important factors when rating a B-movie. Hey, Yvay. So I think we're out of things to talk about, seeing as how we're talking about Joe Bob Briggs and bad B-movies
yeah.
on TNT.
Yeah. It's when you start referencing that sort of stuff that you've reached a new level of
well,
post-modern
it's Bond week, so
consumerism.
I'm, like, really into cable. I think that's the thing. Mm.
TNT?
Mm-hmm.
All right, shall we sign off?
Yes. Are
oh yeah,
out of here.
Get the party on.
Ooh, it's
get the party started, right? Right.